It's about time. Well, it's the news, according to me. Good Monday morning, 8:10 a.m. May 20th, 2024. I am your host, Kevin. And I am sorry that we didn't have a show on Thursday or Friday of last week. No show. It was a ridiculous week. Ridiculous. I had to go someplace almost every day. Was not expecting Monday, anything on Monday. And of course, some of you know, I went to Cincinnati. Had a show on Monday. No show on Tuesday. Because it was ridiculous. Did I have a show on Tuesday? I don't think I did. And then Wednesday we had a show. And then later on in the day, they did it to me again. Sent me out somewhere. I went to Cincinnati. Cincinnati seems to be having some problems. I went to Cincinnati Monday. I was there Monday, Tuesday, and then I was there Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday got back, and I stayed in Chicago because I decided that I only had one day left. I was like, they're probably not going to use me, but I'd rather than driving back and forth just in case they do use me, I thought I would sit in Chicago. And they put me up there. So I ended up staying in Chicago. Well, sure enough, 5 o'clock in the morning, hey, need to have you run to Atlanta real quick here, Atlanta, Georgia. Oh, okay. Yeah, like I got nothing else to do. I didn't. Well, I had something that evening. Which, you know, I was able to get done. But it just messed up the entire day. I was really planning on doing a show that morning from Chicago. And of course, that was unable to do that. By the time I got around to getting things rolling and getting on my flight, I ended up almost barely didn't make the flight. But anyway, so there was no cup. I had no cup. I'll have the cat here this morning. I'm at the home studio this morning with a cup of chai, which I will have. I've got a 6-month supply now, so I'm good. Won't chai for a little while. It's a little bit, gives me a little bit of anxiety to think what I'm going to do with the second 6 months of the year. I'm not sure. I should order another 8 cans. I do have a backup cup this morning, and that's what is the interesting part of the backup cup. I took the time yesterday to create a masterpiece of my sweet tea. My regular, good old home-brewed sweet tea. Nothing finer. And in the process, yesterday afternoon, I had some leftover hamburgers that I'd grilled up earlier in the week. And I ended up making a double cheeseburger. And out of that, I ended up I have some apple cider that is really good. It's a really good apple cider. And so I ended up having a glass of that with my. Well, then I got to kind of the end of that. I still had a cup. It was a half cup full of sweet tea that I've been drinking on all day because I've been outside working, playing with my backhoe and my bobcat, among other things. I was out doing stuff with that because we're putting in a parking area. So I was playing with that, kind of getting them ready for the gravel to come in. Or not the gravel, but the crushed concrete. So I ended up doing all that. Well, then. In the process, I had supper. Then, of course, I had this apple cider, and it had some apple cider left in my cup. So I just poured it into the sweet tea cup, which is what I have with me right now. It's about half and half, about half apple cider, half sweet tea. And I have to say, it is quite. It's nice. It's good. It's good. It's like a mild apple cider. It doesn't have that quite that, you know, that tangy taste to it. Smooths it out. It's still sweet. Not too sweet. Just about right. just tastes good. It's just good stuff. It has a kind of an apple tea kind of thing. So it kind of tastes like. So I might be doing that more often. Maybe. I don't know. See how it goes. But it's quite a treat. So it's, but you know, along with the chai. The chai is just a good hot drink. So it's just good to, yeah. Anyway, onward and upward. A lot of things that I wanted to talk about last week that I've forgotten about. I don't even remember what I was going to talk about. But they were really important. So I'm sure I'll probably remember them at some point, but not right now. Some interesting things happened over the weekend. The sadly, and I say this with respect for humans in general, I don't necessarily approve of everything this country does, or not this country, Iran. I'm talking about Iran. I understand that the president, I guess he's the president or the prime minister, whatever he is, whatever they consider him to be, the leader, supreme leader, whatever they call him. He, along with several high officials, apparently crashed, their helicopter crashed in Iran. And all of them are fatally wounded, so they're no longer with us. Now, this is, this kind of thing, when this kind of thing happens, it always, there's always this, how do I say this? Whenever there's a changing of the guard and a new era, whenever there's something new, a page is being turned in world history and world events like this, it opens up the door for, you know, changes that happen, the suddenlies, I call them, the suddenlies. Suddenly this happened, suddenly that happened. If you look through scripture even, you'll find this. Suddenly there was this, and then suddenly there was that. It's this thing where scripture is very clear that things were just going along as normal, and then all of a sudden, nobody saw it coming. There might be prophets that saw it coming, but it was just suddenly, fill in the blank. And this is kind of I was listening to some interesting commentary this morning on some people who were talking about the Antichrist, the end of times, I find that very fascinating, interesting, how this is going to unfold, figuring out the puzzle, knowing human nature. I think we've been given a brief glimpse of the way our culture is during the whole COVID thing, how people will turn on each other in a heartbeat out of fear. That's really at the core of most things. And fear, because if at the very root of that fear is their selfish nature. Very, very selfish creatures. I was on a plane the other day, and I was sitting in first class, and I just happened to get first class. I hardly ever get that. Kind of surprised I got first class. So I was sitting in first class, and me and there were some other people in the group that were in first class, in the company that I work for. I'm sitting there. Several other people walked on. It wasn't a huge plane. It wasn't a whole lot of overhead space, and we all had a lot of bags. So we pretty much filled up the whole thing. We all boarded before everybody else, and so we filled up pretty much most of the space in the first class area. And some people got on, and the folks that were just trying to do their job, get to work, go home, whatever they're doing, I don't know what they were doing. And I didn't even think about it. I just jumped out of my seat and I said, well, I can put this back. I didn't have to get off early. I was not going to be in a rush to get off the plane when we got there. There was no connections, nothing going on. So I got up real quick and I just pulled the big bag I had up there. I just pulled that out and put it over back in the, it wasn't in first class anymore. I just put it back in the back somewhere. And then I took another bag out and put it in my seat in front of me. And there were two guys there that were, as they were getting on, they acted like they were shocked that I would do such a thing. And one guy, of course, then there was another guy trying to get up there, and I ended up moving some bags around and making some room and turning some things sideways and just packing it in better and got his bag in. And one of the guys that was getting on, one of the first class guys there, that were he goes, "You the man." So it kind of shocked me. I was like, I'm just trying to help. What? I'm the what? What? I'm no hero here. This is just, I'm just all trying to get there. And this is just going to save us all time because I know, you know, the flight attendants are going to have to deal with a bag that they can't get. Everything's full. And now you got to do this. And people are going to try to leave. And somebody who's it just takes everybody's time. But it was just, you know, in a sense, I was just kind of thinking, this is just going to slow us all down. And I was, me included. And sometimes the simplest acts we do are just the outside of our selfish nature. Most people would just sit there, read their Vogue magazine and not act like everybody else isn't as important as them because they have a first class seat and they own this airplane. That's the way some people are. Snooty people in first class. I just can't. That snooty people, even on an airplane. There are people who think that they're so important just because they're on an airplane. They bought a ticket. I'm flying. I have this flight. They maybe fly twice in their life. This is their second flight. They're going to take a flight. I'm so important. And they think that they can demand whatever they want when they get on the airplane. it amazes me sometimes with the kind of people I see in the airport. And then there's other people who just are totally lost and confused. It's a cultural stew. I don't know how I got off onto that from the downing of a helicopter. Helicopter apparently crashed. Unknowing, at this point, there's of course a lot of theories and speculation going on with the whole thing. Helicopters crash. Typically more frequently than fixed wing aircraft, but the fact that it's a helicopter with high profile individuals on it. You know, this happened in Russia, and it was the head of. The one guy who kind of turned on Putin a little bit within months. Was it even a month? Yeah, dies in a helicopter crash. Now, I don't know. I'm not sure. I know that Russia and Iran have a little bit of a pact, I think, between them. They seem to get along okay. That was my cat. She has this little cooing purr thing that just, it's irresistible. So, in the meantime, there's a lot of other things happening. Apparently, Michael Cohen, I think he testified for 3 days. And in those 3 days, any jury who listens to this guy and decides that he's their star witness in this case. You have to understand, he's the big man. He's the guy. He's the guy at the center of all this. Now, here's where, listening to this whole story and listening to everything he says, and he's a chronic liar. By the way, sociopathic liars are very dangerous because they even a guy like me who can kind of detect things in people's voices, he believes what he's saying. And he has no problem with lying. It doesn't cause any kind of stress in his voice, any kind of tension, any kind of weird anomaly. And it's just, it is, because everything that comes out of his mouth is a fabrication. He has, it, it, it's, even if it's true, it's still a fabrication. He's still fabricating his side of the truth, his reality of the truth. It's a very, very strange phenomena. They have this. They interviewed him in cross exam. Of course, the as I said before, no good lawyer will ask a person a question they don't know the answer to. They only want to ask questions that they know the answer to. And typically, what will happen is in the course of that examination of the witness. Many times, especially in the case of a prosecutor, if they have a witness that's considered to be on their side, this happens many times, more times for prosecutors, I think, than it does for defendants. And when this happens, you know the case, it's really on shaky ground because they're really basing a particular narrative. They're trying to push a particular narrative. And they can't go outside those lines. And this is because if they do, then they realize the case is shaky. So what ends up happening, and this is you've seen this in some high-profile cases, but it happens more often than you'd think. Prosecutors asking the witness some questions, and they happen to throw out a couple extra questions that they're expecting an answer to. They don't know the answer, but they're expecting an answer to go their way, and the witness says something else. Or adds something to what their answer was. Or in light of everything before them, in fact, they sit there and when they're sitting there in the prosecutor's office and they say, well, yeah, I'll say this and I'll say that. I'm willing to say this and that. But then when they stand on that podium and take that oath, they're sitting there at that chair with that microphone, the judge next to them, and a sea of people out in front of them. And they get asked a question. They realize the weight of the gravity of the situation, and they realize, I cannot lie here. I cannot keep up this fraud. I can't keep. Many people will crack at that point and start to tell the truth, or twist. They'll untwist the story that they twisted to the prosecutors for to be a witness. They got dragged into it. Now they're sitting there with this heavy weight on their shoulders, and sometimes they crack. Sometimes it goes the other way. Sometimes they start lying. They start getting scared. Depends on kind of which side they're on. And they become a hostile witness to the prosecutor and or the defense, depending on which side they were started on. So, the Michael Cohen issue, he starts during cross-examination, he begins. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a financial counselor. And I will testify to that under oath. The interesting side of this is that he starts getting cross-examined, and he starts all this stuff about lying starts coming out. And they start peeling this onion, and they realize this guy has lied about lying. He's lied to every branch of government there is. He's lied to Congress. He's lied to the judicial system. He's lied to the DOJ. All along the way, he has lied. Now, knowing the kind of person Michael Cohen is, I'm going to throw out this wild theory. This is just a theory. I'm not accusing him of anything. I'm just saying, let's just refer to a lawyer as Lawyer A and President B. And porn star C. So porn star C has an indiscretion with lawyer B. Somehow they know each other. They are acquaintances of some kind. Who knows what kind of business they've conducted between the two of them? This married lawyer B, who has wife D, doesn't want her to find out about any of this. So porn star B, or C, sorry, I'm getting confused. I need a chart and graph. The porn star just heretofore we know him named as the porn star. The porn star decides this is an opportunity to say, hey, I'll let everybody know about this if you don't do something about it. In fact, this porn star finds out that the lawyer has connections to, because he's been bragging, probably. This is a guy who thought he was going to become the attorney general because of everything he did for Donald Trump. For President A. This is a guy who was bragging, thinking he was going to be the AG, that the president was going to put him in some kind of high position. Probably wouldn't have even accepted a federal judgeship at that point. Probably would have. Chief of staff, I guess, was one of the things he threw out there. Chief of staff or the attorney general. Or who knows, Supreme Court. Can you imagine this guy as being any of those things? I cannot imagine this guy being in those positions. So we have all these people with this situation. Now, of course, lawyer B is in a tough situation. And he says to the president, she's claiming that there's been an indiscretion between you and her, and she's going to go public with this whole story if she doesn't get paid. She wants some money. So supposedly there's an NDA drawn up. Now, here again, this whole case, what is the law that's been broken? What are we talking about here in terms of crime? What are we talking about? Well, it's using campaign finances to cover up an indiscretion. Misuse, improper use of campaign finances. Every Democrat president we've had in the last four Democrat presidents have done this very thing. They've misappropriated campaign finance funds. Those are just the ones we know of. The last four. They were all fined. They paid a fine and they were done. I don't know where that money goes when they pay a fine, but they were fined as punishment and they were on their way. It's a misdemeanor. It's not a high crime. It's not a high misdemeanor. It's just a party fine. This guy, trying to get him thrown in jail for this. It is purely political. Everybody sees it as that. They understand that it's that, but they're claiming the whole time out of one side of their mouth that it's not political, and out of the other side of their mouth, they're claiming, well, they can't comment on it because it's political. Jean-Claude Pierre, Karine Jean-Pierre, whatever. She is claiming she can't make a comment on former president's court cases because it's 2024 election cycle is up and it's the Hatch Act. Can't make any comments on it because it's the Hatch Act. So I don't think she can spell Hatch Act. I don't think she knows what it is. Regardless, she's claiming that. Well, then it is political. Then it is a political thing. I guarantee you, if Donald Trump was not running for president, if he would have just gone away and said, I'm never running for president again, I'm not going to be president again, blah, 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 onward, here we go. I'm just going to go back to doing my business. He would I don't think he would have ever been accused of anything. I don't think he would have been indicted for anything. He probably still have those records in his boxes in his shed. I don't know. Wouldn't have been an issue. By the way, many of the boxes that were there that they were claiming were highly classified documents were documents that were sent to him. They sent him those boxes. He didn't take them from anywhere. You want to talk about a setup? This whole thing, hopefully we will see some things exposed if he gets into office. Now, this brings me to this point, and I really want to. This whole helicopter crash thing has really kind of one of the reasons I brought it up. I am deeply concerned. The Democrats aren't just going to roll over. The administrative state, the deep state, is not just going to roll over on this stuff. They've got they've got plan B. They had plan the FBI, Peter Strzok, Andy McCabe. They all had plan B. If Donald Trump happened to get elected, well, I've got plan B. We've got an insurance policy. Who says that out loud unless they know they've got people around them that are okay with it? And I guarantee you that ditch goes much deeper than what we know. These few people at the top who happen to be, well, of course, James Comey. And even Bill Barr. Now, Bill Barr has come out and supported Donald Trump. He's going to vote for Donald Trump. This seems odd to me. Odd. But Donald Trump came out and said, well, you know, he's been, even though he was the worst, you know, AG, whatever. But, and then when Bill Barr was asked about it, he goes, well, that's just typical Donald Trump. Now, either Bill Barr gets it now, all of a sudden understands, hey, the guy, that's just the way the guy is, but he's a good president. He has good policies. That's just the way he talks. That's just his rhetoric. We can put up with that. We can't put up with what's going on with our nation right now. And being lied to about it. Joe Biden on the, quote, campaign trail, if you want to call it that. It's not a campaign trail. 20 people show up every time he shows up at an event. He shows up at events that are already like booked out. This is the way the Democrats do it. They'll find, hey, there's 20,000 people gathering over here. Oh, well, I'm going to show up and call it a campaign event. Look at all these people who are here coming to my campaign. He's getting booed at his own campaign events. So the fact of the matter is, Joe is out there on the, quote, campaign trail, claiming that when he took office, inflation was at 9%. Now it's just down to 3.5% or whatever. It came way down. It's still more than double what it was when he took office. It was at 1.3 or 1.4%, something like that. This was after COVID. The economy was on the rebound. Things were coming back. Everything was folding back in. Sure. There were going to be some shortages. There were going to be some issues. Supply chain had to reorganize and redo its thing. There's going to be some inflation. There was going to be some things, you know, the cost of some things were going to go up. Lumber went up there for a little while, some other things. But the economy was on its way back. Joe steps into office. The number one thing when you have an oil-based economy is to take away that oil base. We had a net export. We were exporting fuel. And now all of a sudden he changes it. And of course, he's over there begging again from the Saudi Arabians. This is back in 2022, when the midterms came around, he was over there begging the Saudis. To control the price of oil, to make him look better. Because gas prices were too high. They laughed in his face. We had, and this is why the U.S. dollar, which is based on oil, pinned on oil, is much stronger in the world when we have a stronger oil base. That's just a fact of the matter. And they want to get rid of oil. Now, speaking of which, I've been looking at I have the feeling this show is going to go longer than 30 minutes because I'm on a rambling mode here this morning. I've been looking at these things. They call them solar generators, which is a bunch of baloney. They're batteries. Call them a battery. You got the, you know, you got the Blue Yeti, you got the Jackery, got the Anchor, EcoFlow, got all those systems out there that are just batteries. Now the iron phosphate batteries are far better than the lithium ion. They have like a 10-year lifespan of normal cycle, you know, regular use, 10-year life cycle. 10 years. Now, that doesn't mean you just use them for 10 years, whatever you want. You can power everything with it. You got to charge it up. Well, now, the reason they call them a solar generator is because you collect solar energy and you charge it up if you have enough solar panels to do so. 90% of the people out there are not charging up their solar generators with energy from the sun. They're using a wall plug because they want to charge it up faster than 10 hours. I think you can charge that thing in like 2 hours with because you can charge it AC and DC at the same time. I believe you can charge the solar panels as well. It'll take as much as 25. I think it's ridiculous. It takes a lot of inputs, a lot of juice. Now I'm talking about the higher end, the 2000 watt solar generator. It's not generating anything. It's just storing energy. It's called a battery. Sometimes semantics matter to me. Sometimes they don't. I can't even spell it. So I have this idea that we're going to be the world. We're going to lead the world in solar technology. No, we're not. Right now, why don't we lead the world in oil? Fossil fuels, as it's called, which has nothing to do with fossils. Nothing. It has nothing to do with fossils. There's more and more science about this. It took on that name because some guy in the 70s or 60s or 70s, what it was, 50s, 60s, whatever it was, decided to start calling it that. We're burning dinosaurs. No, there weren't that many dinosaurs, okay? There just weren't. There weren't enough dinosaurs to make all this oil. But I digress. The chai. That's good chai. So, having said all that, the rest of the week, now tomorrow there will be another show. The rest of the week, I don't know. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, who knows what's going to happen. I am kind of on my own for the next few days. My wife is taking a trip because she just can't stand being around me anymore. So she's going on a trip for work. And I may have to go on a trip tomorrow. I have no idea at this point. Hoping I'm just going to spend my time on the boat. But in the meantime, I have these animals I have to take care of, and one of them right now is not feeling very well, so I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work out. I hate leaving a dog that's not feeling well with a kennel service. This is just, I'm not so sure about this. I'm almost at the point where I'm ready to just call in sick. Because I really need to take, I if he's still not feeling well by tomorrow, he has enough problems as he is because he's getting old. Back legs are having problems. And I feel like I'm, you know, leaving him in the care of people who don't care as much. And I hate, you know, getting that phone call. It's, no, hey, your dog is injured himself or whatever's happened. let alone being sick at the same time. So I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go. We'll see how today goes. And dogs have a tendency to bounce back pretty quickly from not feeling well. But we'll see what happens. He is getting older. So tomorrow and the next day, by the way, last couple days, 2 days in a row, very low listenership. Now, granted, I didn't have any shows out there. So people would have to go back and listen to previous episodes. And because, by the way, this is like 700, I think this is episode 718 or 716, whatever. What is this episode? Is it, let's find out. I'm just going to go here and see what we got. We got podcasts, we got episodes, 708 episodes, which I don't think is correct. I'm sure there's more than that. I know where I can find it. It's right here. Podcasts. It's in my files. Right here. It's in my files. We have 700. This episode right here will be the 721st episode. Last episode was 720. That was back on 15th. So today's 721. Thank you very much. Something to be celebrated, I guess, a little bit, to some degree at least. So we have, I have this major concern. I was getting into this. I'm going to finish up with this. I'm going to wrap it up with after I get through this whole thing. This major concern about the election coming up and how certain individuals are kind of jumping on the Trump train. It kind of seems a little bit skeptical of this. I'm a little bit skeptical of because of their past indignation towards Trump. And so what bothers me here is two things. And then you've got this crazy debate thing that's going to happen in June. Biden has agreed to 2 debates in June. Or just June and August. I don't know. June and July, whatever it is. The convention hasn't even happened yet. And there are people asking questions, even people on the left. Bill Maher even asked this question. He goes, "What? They haven't even had their little convention thing yet. How are they having debates in the summer? That just doesn't happen." Well, and this gets back to this whole thing of, I don't think Joe is going to be on the ticket in November. They're trying to waste time. They're trying to find a way to trip up Trump to get something on him, or they're figuring, well, this is far enough away from the election that if Biden really screws it up, if it really looks bad for Biden, give it 2 months and the entire country will forget about this. Keep him away from the time of the election. That way, it's not relevant. People won't remember it. They have other plans for pulling things out in October that people will remember. If Biden is on the ballot in November, let me just put it this way. They have to be insane to have Biden on the ballot in November, which is part of the problem here. They are insane. They are, maybe insanity is not the right word to use here, but delusional certainly is. And they're just so livid about Donald Trump that they can't even recognize their hatred and their rage and how it's manipulating and affecting them. They have in their minds created this monster who thinks that he's just going to kill them all. They're all going to end up in prison and dead. They're going to be executed by an execution. Really? This is the same Donald Trump who, when asked about the Russia-Ukraine war, he said, "I want people to stop dying." So I ask you this, what do you think they have planned here? Now, if they allow Biden to get into office, or be on the ticket, I should say, they know he's not going to win. Now, either that or they know that they've got something planned for Donald Trump, and I mean that in the darkest sense, to eliminate him. If the courts can't do it, if the media can't do it, if a phony dossier can't do it, they will find a way. If they do allow him to run, all things. Now, I've heard there's a variant of the COVID variant now that's coming out. And apparently it's just in time for the election. Supposedly highly deadly. Highly deadly. Here we go. Here we go again. Make sure you get your vaccines in there. Those vaccines that are now being... Pfizer's actually admitting some things about the vaccines, by the way. Marco Rubio was recently asked on a, I believe, CNN broadcast about the 2020 election. You said this about the 2020 election back then, and now you're saying this? He basically went along with it and said, we have to move on with this election thing. Of course, now he's found out a lot more things about the election and realizes why people are so hot about it. So he started mentioning these facts. And he even mentioned the fact that every Democrat who's lost since 2000, starting with Al Gore, have contested the elections. Every single one of them that they've lost. They have had alternate delegates go to the counting of the delegates. They have had people stand up opposed to the elections, and they've had people say the elections are illegitimate. Hillary Clinton for 3 years, 4 years, actually almost 5 years, she has said Donald Trump is an illegitimate president. He knows he's illegitimate. You can do all this. You can run a fine campaign. You can do all this and still have the election stolen from you. Stolen. Donald Trump can't say those words, or they call him an insurrectionist. Every Democrat that has been elected since 2000. I'm sorry, every Democrat that has lost an election since 2000. Has contested the election. Look at Stacey Abrams. For 8 years now, she's believed that she should be the governor of Atlanta. I'm sorry, governor of Georgia. The media treats her that way. Everybody treats. She's not even in office. Weird, strange stuff. And I don't doubt for a minute that they have got plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. They've probably got 5 or 6 different scenarios they're playing out. They're war gaming. And we found out about this stuff, that they do this war game stuff. They play act with different ideas. Think through this stuff and try to make it. So how can we play this off with American people? How can we? Because Jeffrey Toobin, during one of these war game scenarios they were playing, got caught. With his pants down, literally. The kind of people that they are. So, I am concerned. I'm deeply concerned. And I really hope this nation starts to pray. I really hope that people start to really realize that we have got to be on our knees. Not just for who is our head representative in the executive branch, but just for everyday life. Because it is just spinning out of control. And I'm hoping that our nation's eyes are opened. That's what I'm praying for. The people of this country will see the truth, including me. If I'm somehow living under some kind of delusion, or I need to see something that's not, I pray that every day, that I not be deceived. The Antichrist will come with all signs and lying wonders. All signs and lying wonders. People will wonder. Oh my. The deception will be incredible. I do not want to be. I want to be so well grounded in the truth that I know when the lie comes along. And that's kind of been the case here in the last little while. There's been some things where there's been some phone calls. Some things that I've... Yeah, I'm not going to get into that. So, in the meantime, folks, I do appreciate you. I'm sorry that the show has gone a little bit long with some of my rambling here. But I want to be very clear. We are approaching some very tense times in the next, I think, 3 to 4 months. And that may sound like a long time away. But there's going to be some suddenlies, I think, in the next few months. They're going to change the way we do things here in this country if we don't get our act together. And not just defend ourselves, but defend each other. In the midst of this, and to recognize when the truth is being spoken, when the truth is being stood for, and stand with it, and be willing to tear down that which is not true. Folks, thanks for listening. Have a great week. God bless. Take care.